Welcome to The Goal is Whole. New creation studies you can apply daily to live complete in Christ. Series 3, focus on community, one together. Part 1, community witness. Study 013, healing and deliverance.
Seen already how community witness comes in the form of the immersion into a body lifestyle by the Holy Spirit, such that we together carry this witness of Jesus out into a hurting world. And in study 2, we just looked at the theme of the inn that we're building around as a home of witness. And in this study today, I want to particularly look at the area of healing and deliverance. Witnessing of Jesus' presence, he's carrying out that same mandate that he fulfilled when he was walking the earth. Let's look at that again, Acts 10:38. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So as we're called to proclaim the victory of Jesus, the holiness of Jesus, the supremacy of Jesus, we're also called to carry the demonstration of that through healing and deliverance and doing good. Jesus said clearly that his plan was to continue this work through those who would come to believe in him. As we receive this lifestyle of union with him and we become this dwelling place of Jesus, then so he is able to manifest that same power mandate to a hurting world. John 14 verse 12, truly, truly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. So community witness is about taking the message and the presence of Jesus to the world. We are the workers in the harvest. We are the ambassadors for Christ. And in that, we meet people at their point of need. And for many, that is the need for healing of some kind. The mandate is pretty clear. Learning how to become equipped in healing and deliverance of demons isn't something we can handle just in a little study like this. The best way is to join with those who are already walking in a ministry of healing and deliverance and learn from them and participate with them. There's also a lot of other great resources available that you could tap into. But already we've seen that this was part of Jesus' life. Read the Gospels and follow him around on the healing trail. It was awesome. And he said, clearly, believers would continue the works when he left. We can learn a lot from studying the Gospels to see how Jesus ministered to the sick. But the conclusion that I've reached in doing that is that often there is no set pattern or formula, except that Jesus said he was yielded to the Father, and it was really the Father who did the works. And that's probably the biggest key. In the same way, we don't minister healing in isolation. Or in our own strength, obviously, but yielded to Jesus. It's a co-working of his manifested presence that brings the healing. Same with casting out demons. It's an issue of his authority. So again, we really just become channels, if you like, of him working through us. Jesus is the key to this. I want to turn to a passage in Acts 3, really as the basis for the study here today, which we're going to use as an outline for this topic. Peter and John healed a crippled man who was begging outside the temple. Here's what happened. Acts 3, verse 6 to 8. Peter said, I don't possess silver or gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, walk. And seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up. And immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened. With a leap, he stood upright and began to walk. And he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. So amazing. There was no prayer involved. You notice that? There was just a proclamation. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, walk. And this is exactly how Jesus worked too. Rather than pray for the sick, we need to learn to embrace this role of healing the sick. Oftentimes we feel a little bit awkward about that, but that is the mandate. In reality, it is Jesus in us that's doing the healing through us. What I'm talking about here is the mechanism, how it actually operates. So it's not really a request that's going heavenward. It's us co-working and allowing his authority to flow out of us. It's Jesus manifested. So in that sense, I mean, I'm not saying we don't need a prayer life. We definitely do. When it comes to ministering healing, it's more a proclamation than it is a prayer. And he will work through our words. Peter explained this exactly to those there in Jerusalem, "Men of Israel," he said, "why are you amazed at this? Why do you gaze at us as if by our own power or piety we made him walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. And it's on the basis of faith in his name. It's the name of Jesus which has strengthened this man, whom you see and know. And the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect health in the presence of you all." So let's get this clear. It wasn't Peter's prayers or his power or his piety. It was all Jesus. But specifically, it's on the basis of faith in his name. It was the name of Jesus that strengthened the man. And the faith that comes through Jesus gave the perfect health. So again, the healing ministry is not really a prayer ministry. It's a proclamation ministry. It's a demonstration of the authority of Jesus. And it works by faith and words. Notice Peter doesn't say it was his faith that healed the man, but the faith that came through Jesus. So let's be expectant as we use the name of Jesus in showing this kind of love to someone with a real need in sickness or disease. And I should just say as well, although we're looking at this as a ministry to others, we should apply this in our own lives too, and not tolerate sickness and aspire rather to walk in divine health. And delivering demons is quite similar. Demons are cast out through words of authority. And again, it's the authority of Jesus as activated by using his name. Those first others that were sent out, the 70 that Jesus sent out, were pretty stoked about that. Let's read Luke 10:17-19. The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." He said to them, "I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Behold, I've given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you." In the name of Jesus. We need to use that name with confidence against demons. Mark 16:17-18. "These signs will accompany those who have believed. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents. If they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." So Jesus has made it so clear that it's his name that's available to us, and that he is calling us into union with him as he outworks this lifestyle of compassion to those in need. It can seem a little daunting at first, but again, that's why we're setting this in the arena of community witness. Our call to witness and ministry is through this community setting, a community calling. And that's why we really favor going out in teams, working together in ways where we can operate securely together as a community. One quick word of caution as well on religious backlash. Sadly, there are some believers and groups that don't encourage healing and deliverance at all. And sometimes that's rooted in this fear of a warning that Jesus gave about the end times. Matthew 24:24, "For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders, so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect." And some have misread that to see that it means that anyone that's doing signs and wonders are false Christs and false prophets. But clearly that's not true. So we are the new creation. We have a mandate to be full witnesses of Jesus, to co-work with him, expressing his heart of compassion to a hurting world. There may well be counterfeits and deceivers out there, but that doesn't invalidate our mandate. Don't be put off by those who may criticize and warn. Let's stay close to Jesus, be his community together, and operate from this place of safety and fruitfulness. Healing and deliverance ministry are acts of love and kindness to people in need. Ministry should never be seen as an end in itself or a way to promote ourselves. Our purpose is simply to carry the love of Christ to a hurting and broken world. You know, the brokenness moved Jesus with compassion when he walked the earth. And he's still carrying that, and he will carry it in us and through us as we yield to him now. In your group time, your next group time, you may want to just spend a few minutes discussing what we do with this or what you want to do with this. Maybe set up a healing night where you can invite people that have got needs to come along and receive ministry. Just to say that the worst thing that could happen with this study is that we just check it off as something we studied. This definitely is not something that we just need to know about. This is something that we need to do. We need to engage in this and be these witnesses, this community witness, carrying this heart of compassion and power of Jesus to the world around us.
The goal is whole. New creation studies you can apply daily to live complete in Christ.